everyone, Shirley here. I love today's topic. As someone who has started 6 businesses over the years, I have often struggled to find competent, reliable, affordable external advisors to help me in my journey. There are plenty of advisors in the marketplace, however, to help with accounting, finance, marketing, legal, human resources, and business development, to name a few. Whether you are developing an advisory board or hiring individual paid advisors, how do you find, evaluate, select, and utilize the right people who can give you the right advice? What should you look for? How do you set expectations, be open to suggestions, discard poor advice, determine the value received, and when necessary, move on? That's what we're talking about today. For this timely, important discussion, I reached out to Mark Sissel, Board Chair and Director at Katz Abosch. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Shirley. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you today.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Mark, please tell our audience a little about yourself and Katz Abosch.
Sure. Happy to do so, Shirley. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of Katz Abosch for nearly 40 years, and I served on the firm's board of directors for nearly 27 years, and as president and CEO for 13 years. And at Katz Abosch, we take a significant amount of pride in being the trusted advisor for closely held. And what we mean by closely held is privately owned businesses. We provide a myriad of professional services, including accounting and financial statements, tax returns for corporations, partnerships, and individuals, valuation services, and estate and business, as well as individual tax planning services. Our primary industries we serve include government contracting, construction, real estate and real estate development, and professional service corporations. And we also provide monthly outsourced bookkeeping and accounting services through our subsidiary, Bluestone Services, LLC.
Awesome, Mark. Thank you for that. Let's begin our discussion with why small businesses should find and leverage good advisors.
I guess, Shirley, this is an age-old question and discussion, and for me, businesses should leverage good advisors for their wealth of experience in the industry. You can only earn as opposed to buy experience. I think that most of us can agree to that fact. And earning experience comes with living through business situations. I happen to think it is true that more experience and good business habits are learned from mistakes or quote-unquote errors than from successes. Several related quotes from Thomas Edison as an example. Quote number one, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. And another one is, there are no rules here. We're trying to accomplish something. And the last thing, which I think a lot of people have probably heard, is the last quote is, genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. So I think what Edison is clearly saying here that, you know, you've got to try, you've got to experiment, you've got to explore, you've got to put through the effort. Not everything is going to work, but you will learn through those experiences and you'll make the effort the next time that much better.
That is so true. Experience is the best teacher. What I hear you saying, and Edison saying, is that inexperienced business owners can either experiment and learn the hard way on their own, or they can reach out to others who have gone before them and who have experienced what they are now experiencing. However, despite knowing that others can provide valuable insights, why do some small business owners try to do everything on their own and not seek advice from experts?
The one thing I would find in common with most small business owners is that they wear an enormous amount of hats, different hats. In many cases, they are working in versus on the business. And it's not necessarily by choice, but rather out of necessity. And I understand that in many cases, it, maybe it's budget constraints. But also smaller businesses might feel as though their budget will not allow them to hire the appropriate advisors. I would contend it's not about how much money you spend, but rather the value received for the money you spend.
We're going to address value in a minute, Mark, but let's explore the many hats a CEO must wear. They have to be knowledgeable of federal regulations, market opportunities, how to deliver their products and services to their clients, and very complex human resources, accounting, and legal matters in the GovCon marketplace. It's easy to get overwhelmed with well-meaning advice. When I discuss these matters with my clients, I suggest that they wake up every morning and ask themselves, what do I need to concentrate on today that no one else in my company can do? Then do that. Outsource or delegate everything else. This frees the CEO to examine their own thoughts and knowledge and be better able to see gaps in their understanding. So, Mark, let's say that the CEO has come to the conclusion that they need specific advice in marketing and accounting. How do they go about finding and evaluating advisors?
The first thing that I would probably suggest, Shirley, is seek good business advisors by talking to friends and colleagues in business, people that you have known for quite some time, people that you obviously trust, that you share business experiences with. I think that that's really the best place to start. And then I would research and interview those recommendations. It's very important also, make sure that the advisor's style and personality is a fit for you. In my opinion, it's really no different than choosing, say, a pediatrician for your child. You want to find somebody your peers use to speak highly of in most situations. Plus, you want to ensure the doctor's bedside manner, right, is to your liking. And I think the same is true here. You want to make sure that the advisor's bedside manner, that their connection with you is real and that you feel very comfortable working with them.
I agree that references along with style are important, Mark, but how do you really evaluate potential advisors and probe their references to ensure they are knowledgeable enough to deeply understand your situation and provide the help that you need at this point in your company's growth?
When I'm interviewing an advisor, and what I would recommend to my clients as well, for instance, does the advisor have experience in the industry? Is the advisor passionate about your situation and dedicated to achieving your goals? And I really believe that when you're interviewing somebody, you can feel that they're sincerely interested in what you're talking about and want to work with you. Is the advisor honest, yet compassionate? And what I mean by honest, I don't mean just an honest person, but being honest with you, telling you straight when answering your questions, or merely a yes person. I find some advisors, no offense, but they're willing to follow the owner's lead, whether it makes sense or not, as long as the checks keep flowing. That's not what you want. And I would also say, does the advisor understand your industry? And again, that's different from having experience in your industry. What I mean by understanding it, have they been involved in the industry? It's one thing to know the industry. It's another thing to have really been involved in the industry and to see the different things that go on in the industry. That's important to me. And lastly, do the advisors listen intently to the situation as opposed to talking over you? And I think we've all been in those kind of situations where we're talking and then we're interrupted by somebody. We don't get a chance to get our thought across. And in my opinion, therefore, the situation is lost. You want to make sure that person is intently listening to you, takes in what you say, and then comes back to you with any other suggestions or recommendations.
I agree, Mark. That's critically important. I would add that during the interview process, ask for examples of client profiles and scenarios that they've been involved in and how the advisor impacted their client. An advisor that is most appropriate for you, of course, is one that has dealt with companies of your size at the same point in your corporate life cycle, in your industry, and faced with some of the same issues you're facing. I sometimes see advisors who sell themselves, whether consciously or not, simply as a quote-unquote GovCon expert. They may have worked for a large government contractor or in the federal government and think they are knowledgeable about everything, but their experience is in fact very narrow. If that narrow experience matches your situation, great. But probe a little deeper to determine if there is a fit. Would you add anything to that, Mark?
I don't think I could have said it better, Shirley, than what you just said, frankly. I think your comments emphasize just how important it is to work with someone not only knowledgeable about what you do, but experienced, again, in your industry. I think it's extremely important. The key to me will always be experience. I don't care what anybody says. That will always be the key for me. Understanding your client's situation by having lived something very similar. Book smarts are important. Please don't get me wrong. I absolutely believe that the person has to be smart, sharp, knowledgeable. No question about that. But there's nothing like walking in that business owner's shoes. There is no substitute, in my opinion, for relevant experience.
I would agree. We need to take a break. I'm talking to Mark Sissel, Board Chair and Director at Katz Abosch. When we come back, we'll talk about how to know when you're getting good advice or not, and what to do about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Shirley Collier, President and Founder of Scale to Market, is your host for this Growth Masters Federal presentation. Scale to Market helps businesses think, plan, collaborate, and build market value by developing and executing customized data-driven business development playbooks, building efficient information systems, and creating high-performing BD teams. Utilizing the proprietary Davy Business Development Growth Framework, Scale to Market partners with business owners and executives to increase their company's value by achieving profitable and sustainable growth in the federal marketplace. Email Shirley at scollier@scaletomarket.com to learn more about the Davy Growth Framework and how it can be instrumental in helping grow your federal contracting business. Back now to Shirley's conversation with Mark Sissel as they discuss how to find and utilize outside advisors to propel your company forward.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about interviewing and selecting good advisors. Let's now talk about what happens after you have hired an advisor. Mark, how can small GovCon CEOs know when an advisor is giving good advice?
I think the best thing, I'm hemming and hawing a little bit because I really believe, Shirley, that the trial and error is probably the best method. I know to determine whether the advisor chosen is right for you. You've got to trust your instincts and at the same time, give the advisor a reasonable amount of time to help you execute the game plan. But it's no different than hiring an employee from my perspective. Does every employee hire work out well regardless of the resume? I don't think so. I don't think that happens all the time. Don't give up if the first advisor chosen doesn't work out to your satisfaction. Keep searching. Keep searching and searching and searching for the right advisor because the right advisor is out there. But give them an opportunity to make things happen. Be careful. Be reasonable. Give that person an opportunity before you make any situation as far as canceling your consulting experience with that person.
And Mark, I recommend that CEOs validate the advice that they're given from their advisors. Talk to other CEOs, read industry publications, ask other advisors. The advice you are getting should make sense to you and your executive team and generally comport with industry best practices. So, Mark, can you give us an example of an advisory role that you've played in which everything worked as planned?
Sure. I think I can give you an example, although I will tell you that it doesn't always work out as you plan, but let's try this one more precise. I was meeting with a client many years ago, still a client, decent-sized client, I would say in the $30 to $35 million range in top line. And we were meeting to discuss their financial statements and their progress for the first half of the year. And I noticed the gross profit percentage on the financial statement was down significantly from the prior year for the same period. And when I asked the question, this VP said, he explained to me the shop, quote unquote, was extremely busy and working 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So my question became around labor, because labor was significantly higher. And when you're running a business, I think we could all say this, that's going 24/7, or in this case 24/5, you're paying a lot of overtime, right? You're paying a lot of money out there. And so my question was based on the amount of dollars spent on overtime and labor, were the contracts being priced properly? You know, in other words, you know, from my perspective, make it very simple, was it costing them $1.05 to make something sold for $1.06 or breaking even? Again, were we just really on the hamster wheel, if you will? As it turned out, several jobs were not priced properly. As such, the client instituted a checklist to determine whether future proposals and customers are truly the right fit. One of the most important things that you can imagine on the checklist was to ensure jobs which needed to be done quickly, in particular, were priced properly. If the buyer would not pay the fair, I won't say the higher, but the fair contract amount, our client would decline the proposal. It doesn't make sense, Shirley, in any situation to work for a break even. Your time and your expertise are worth it. That's why people are coming to you. And it should be a win-win. They should be happy with what you're doing, and you should be able to profit as well.
Yep. That's a really good example. I have one to share. I had a client a few years ago, $5 million in annual revenue, providing IT services to the federal government. They had some help desk contracts, systems administration contracts, and, oh, by the way, they had a contract using artificial intelligence to detect fraud for one agency. I did some market research to determine future demand and profit margins and recommended that they not pursue recompetes for any of their current contracts except for the one using artificial intelligence, and that they leverage that experience in that agency to open doors in other agencies. As a consequence, they grew fourfold in 2 years.
Well, Shirley, if I could just add one thing to what you said, and what you said is so true. In the example I gave, if you have a $30 million top-line company, all right, and you add 1.5% to the gross profit, that's $450,000, if my math is correct, okay? $450,000 that's falling right to the bottom line. You didn't do anything of significant difference. You didn't take more money out and expand or buy larger equipment or more expensive equipment, right? This is falling to the bottom line. So, you know, I think another thing that I'd like to add is that I wish I had come up with this line myself. Sales equal vanity, profit equal sanity.
I love it. I've never heard that, Mark. I love it. Yes, and you know, all of our clients are for-profit companies, and we want to make sure that they are, in fact, making profit. So, Mark, most companies have more than one advisor. They may have an outsourced CFO, a business development consultant, and have outsourced recruiting and employee benefits, for example. How should a small business ensure that all of their advisors and outsourced functions are on the same page?
I honestly believe that one of the advisors needs to be the quarterback of the group, and this person should make sure all the advisors are on the same page and moving in the same direction as chosen by the business owner. And that doesn't mean that there aren't discussions or, for lack of a better term, arguments about, you know, how we should proceed. But I think that, again, the advisors need to be on the same wavelength and working towards that vision of the owner. So I would say also that the person needs to set agendas, summarize notes and action points from the meetings, follow up to ensure the goals set are measured and accomplished. And again, be open with the discussion if it appears that goals are unrealistic or need adjustment. Every advisor's point of view is important and should be heard. I'll just say for myself, I personally have used at the same time several advisors, several coaches, whatever word you want to use. And I glean different points of views, different aspects of what I'm trying to do from those people. And the more points of views that I hear, the bit more information I get, and I think the better overall decision I make. So I don't think it's any different in this situation.
I would agree. And of course, with all this good advice, the value comes when the advice is acted upon So CEOs who are willing to ponder, explore, and act upon the advice are those, in my opinion, who will benefit the most. Being open-minded and admitting that you maybe don't have all of the answers are traits that lead to the greatest results, in my experience. But I also know that this is sometimes difficult for high-energy founders. To start a business, you have to have a lot of self-confidence, which may lead you to not being particularly open to advice from others. So, Mark, how do you encourage your client CEOs to take your advice?
Yeah, Shirley, this is a great question. I mean, this is something that's extremely, extremely important. And I say that as I am working currently with a young entrepreneur in a service industry space. Yeah, to me, encouraging the person that you're working with as an advisor, it's not a luxury. It's essential. It's critical to the psyche of the business owner. Be sure to applaud and celebrate even the smallest win as much as the quote-unquote failures. And failures isn't maybe a good word. Learning experience or learning opportunity is probably a better word. Remind the business owner there is no such thing as overnight success. And I don't care what anybody says. I've been doing this for 40 years. I have never seen an overnight success. I mean, people talk about it, but people have worked hard for years behind the scenes to make an overnight success happen. And every quote-unquote failure is an opportunity to learn and adjust your perspective and business model. And most importantly, it is okay for something to fail. No one's perfect. Ask any business owner or entrepreneur, and I'm sure, Cheryl, you've had the exact same experiences, they will tell you the same thing. Be confident in your goals and vision. Learn how to accept failure as a learning opportunity. That's what it is. It's a learning opportunity, a chance to make things better. And always recount the positive choices and wins. Everyone needs to be pumped up occasionally. And I can tell you, this young entrepreneur that I'm working with now, who is already successful, but isn't where they want to be. When something happens bad, so to speak, we talk about what went right and how maybe this was the best thing that really happened, because by this quote-unquote failure, it showed you that this is the route we need to take, or this is how we need to develop the product. And they come out of it usually saying, you know, that's a really good point. That's a different perspective. So it's important to point the things out, but it's very, very, very important to make sure that you are as positive and passionate about what that entrepreneur is doing as possible.
I agree 100%. So, Mark, sometimes companies have outgrown an advisor. So what, in your opinion, are the signs that this is happening?
So this is true, Shirley. This happens, and I believe the owner will know when it's time to move on from the present advisor. You'll hear a lot of hemming and hawing, when a question is asked. I need time to research that item further. The business owner will also know from the questions asked whether the advisor has truly dealt with a company of a certain size or situation. I think the owner will know whether or not they're being buffaloed, so to speak. I think it's pretty tough to fake it.
I think it is too. So the business owner is now faced with having to fire an advisor. What is the best way to go about doing this?
Never easy, but always treat someone the way you want to be treated. If the advisor has been sincere and diligent or respectful of you, maybe it's time to move on, as we just said earlier, because maybe you've hit a point where the advisor doesn't have the experience you need as you grow. But treat them the same way. Treat them the way you would be treated. I always think at worst case scenario, a phone call is best. Certainly in person is the best. But please, please don't hide behind an email. Let the advisor know you appreciate their work to date, but it's time to change things up a bit and move in another direction. And this might sound self-serving, but I mean this. Make sure the advisor's invoices are paid to date as well. Remember, your reputation is at stake as well.
And Mark, I would add that good advisors know their niche and its shelf life. They make it easy for their clients to grow and to move on from them, and that should be the objective. So in summary, external advisors can be extremely helpful to small growing GovCons. The federal marketplace is complex, it's highly regulated, and very competitive. There are folks who have deep experience in the industry and who know how to share their experiences, knowledge, and skills with others for reasonable prices. Be diligent when hiring. Ask probing questions, get examples of their engagements, check references, and after hiring them, evaluate their advice. Then take it. Act upon it to win and manage profitable contracts, grow your business, and when the time comes, exit. And finally, don't be afraid to move on from advisors. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about hiring and utilizing good external advisors.
Julie, it's absolutely been my pleasure. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy this, passionate about this topic, and I wish all of your clients, small entrepreneurs or business owners that are listening, every success in the future.
It's been my pleasure as well, Mark. Folks, if you'd like to get in touch with Mark, he can be reached at mcissell, that's M-C-I-S-S-E-L-L, at katzabosch.com. Or you can reach out to us here at Scale to Market, and we'll make sure you're connected. This is Shirley Collier, President of Scale to Market and host of the Growth Masters Federal Podcast, signing off for now. As we close, I want to thank you for joining us today and encourage you to connect with me on LinkedIn and visit our website, that's scaletomarket.com, with the number 2 in the middle, where you will find our library of podcasts, webcasts, white papers, my blog, and other links and resources. While there, please leave us a comment or suggestion so we can stay focused on what's important to you. We'll see you next time.